You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Monday, March 17th. Happy St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, happy St. Patrick's Day.
As of today, the average price of a gallon of 2% milk in Wisconsin, $3.18, the same as Friday. And the average price of a dozen large eggs here in the state, $6.24, also the same since last Friday.
When I win, I will immediately bring prices down starting on day one.
Just a little side note, the U.S. has now reached out to Denmark and other European countries asking if they can export eggs here. The request from the U.S. Department of Agriculture coincides with a whole bunch of new U.S. tariffs on countries, including in Europe, and the threat of more. President Trump has also threatened economic sanctions unless Denmark gives us control of Greenland. But hey, can we have some eggs? That'd be really nice. Would you mind?
What's happening?
Just telling you what's in the news. We have a busy, busy show coming up for you today. After the 10:30 news, Dave Wild is going to join us. Dave has MS and autism, and he is also a big advocate for Medicare and Medicaid. And we've been talking about this, changes to the program, and the assumption that a lot of people shouldn't be receiving these benefits.
Yeah.
That a lot of people are misusing Medicare and Medicaid.
Yeah.
And we will talk to Dave, and I'm curious what he has seen, what he has dealt with, and his own experience. Because, again, as a person with MS and autism, and he worked, from what I understand. And so we'll have a conversation with Dave Wild coming up after 10:30. Next hour, we will lighten it up. Fingers crossed, baby. Seems like this segment is cursed. We've tried numerous times over the last couple of months, and something has always, there's been a snafu.
Yeah.
Always. But today, I'm feeling confident, Greg Buck. We're going to do Beyond the Cheese, our segment where we feature a business in Wisconsin outside of dairy and agriculture. We are planning to talk to Josie Henry of J. Henry & Sons. They make bourbon outside of Madison, and our very own Luke Mathers was the one who stumbled upon them, or stumbled away from them, we're not sure, and said, you should talk to these guys for Beyond the Cheese. So hopefully Josie Henry will be joining us after the 11 o'clock news. At 11:30, we're going to talk about Irish films.
Okay.
And your favorite Irish movie, it is St. Patrick's Day. So for St. Patty's Day, we'll kick around some great Irish movies that you need to check out, and we will wrap it all up as we always do. With This Shouldn't Be a Thing, today it's the Let Me Transfer You edition. Stay tuned for that. As always, if you have a thing you think should not be outside of politics.
Yeah, something fun.
Something more on the fun side.
Yeah.
Send it in to janesays@civicmedia.us, JANESAYS. janesays@civicmedia.us. Did want to start off with this, though. Something else we've been talking about for quite a while. This from the Journal Sentinel, Madeline Heim with the byline, Trump administration cancels program that paid Wisconsin farmers to grow food for food pantries. They talked to a woman called Christy Allen. She sends around 3,000 pounds of honey every year to a food bank in St. Croix. She runs the Bee's Knees in Burnett County, where she sells honey and bees and teaches beekeeping classes. She took part in the Wisconsin Local Food Purchase Assistance Program. So that paid Wisconsin farmers to produce food for local pantries and other groups that fight hunger. Without this program, Christy Allen says she couldn't have afforded to give that much honey to a food bank. She was paid $25,000 the first year, $15,000 the second year. She says, though, it wasn't just about the money, it was gratifying.
Yeah.
She got a handwritten note from a woman across the state who had gotten her honey and just wanted to say thank you. These programs have been around for a while, this kind of partnership between Wisconsin farmers and local groups that try to combat hunger in their own neighborhoods. Doesn't seem like a bad thing.
No, and I guess once again, I'm asking the question, you know, you cut this program, you cut the funding, and therefore you're cutting access to food. Why is this good? Why is this something you would support? Why is this something that the Trump administration has cut off? Why is this something you say, yes, we should do this? Make it make sense. Show your work. Tell me why hungry people is a good idea.
On March 7th, the U.S. Department of Agriculture ended the program, part of a nationwide effort to support local farmers, feed under-resourced communities, and increase the resiliency of this food supply chain. In the letter canceling this program, the deputy administrator of the USDA, now under Trump, Jack Tutwiler, says it no longer effectuates agency priorities.
Jack Tutwiler.
So, yeah, it's just not needed. Wisconsin farms going to be good. Hungry people, apparently, it's all going to be fine. During the 2023-24 growing season, almost 300 Wisconsin farms took part in this program, providing almost $4.5 million worth of food to more than 250 pantries and schools. In the case of this woman who's a beekeeper, she was able to, because of the money that came from this program, she could hire a part-time employee. With that income now disappearing, she's unsure if she can keep this person on.
Yeah.
And she says, you know, the idea that there's waste, fraud, and abuse, there's no evidence of that. Having a dependable market that supports a healthy society seems like a no-brainer to me. I would think so, too.
And once again, the farmers are taking it on the teeth. And the effect, when farmers suffer, we all suffer. That's all there is to it. And our food suffers. Our food supply suffers. The access to food suffers. Prices of food suffers. But this is one where you're like, you're helping hungry people eat, and you said no. What was the exact term they used? Jack Tutwiler said the program did not...
No longer effectuates agency priorities.
Effectuates agency priorities.
Let me translate this for you. It doesn't matter.
No.
It doesn't matter. And I guess what really jumps out to me, because it seems like there is this assumption that hungry people only exist in urban areas. That's not the case.
Also, let's also smash another stereotype. Hungry people aren't without jobs either.
Right.
Hungry people have jobs. Hungry people have families. Hungry people are people maybe on your block.
Hungry people are seniors.
Hungry people are hardworking single parents. Hungry people are around you, and this program helps. And the fact that what am I doing? Donald Trump doesn't care about poor people. He doesn't care about them. They don't vote for him, and if they do, he doesn't care about them in the long run. This program doesn't effectuate the administration. It means they don't care about you because you can't help them at all without a vote. Period.
If you're just joining us, talking about an article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Trump administration cancels program that paid Wisconsin farmers to grow food for food pantries. And according to this article, again, in the Journal Sentinel, the program was seen as a win-win by those who used it. Food pantry visitors got fresh food. Farmers got a stable source of cash to help meet their bottom line. And we have talked to Darren Van Ruden.
Mm-hmm.
Numerous times, and he'll be joining us again next month.
Yeah.
They live on a pretty tight margin, farmers do. And there's so much uncertainty when we're talking about the weather and droughts and things like that. To have something like this, where they knew this money was coming in if they partnered with a food pantry, at least they could count on that. And now that's gone.
And a question I would love to ask Darren, too. I mean, and I know he has more a dairy farm that's more of a, he calls it a boutique dairy farm. But I have to imagine planting season's about to start, that farmers have already said, it's like, we're going to plant X amount of seed. That percentage of seed will go towards will go towards the hungry people. That's what we're going to donate. Well, now what are they going to do? Do they have to redo their entire plan? How is this going to affect their farms as well? I mean, this was a program that was helping farmers and helping hungry people, and it does not effectuate this administration. What is wrong with you?
Feeding America estimates that more than 617,000 Wisconsin residents are food insecure. The food pantry in Dunn County says the program provides almost 50,000 pounds of food to clients, including apples, lettuce, corn, radishes, beets, fresh beef, and pork. Like the statewide hunger statistics, the need for its service has not declined. It has increased. And again, hungry people aren't only in Milwaukee and Madison. There are food pantries all over the state.
Yeah.
That a lot of people are dependent upon. And as you pointed out, Greg, a lot of these folks are working.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these folks are seniors. We've done enough interviews with the Hunger Task Force of Southeastern Wisconsin to know that this is a pretty widespread thing. Apparently, we should just be, you know, pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps, you guys, and figuring it out ourselves. Just grow your own food.
Yeah, I was going to say, just grow your own food. Don't bother me. I don't care about you because you were dumb enough to be hungry. That's your fault, I guess.
Well, and you're dumb enough not to have enough money to contribute to my campaign.
Oh, my God.
Run away. We're going to switch gears a little bit when we return.
Yeah.
If you wanted to reach out to some of your elected officials, and now it's not just Republicans who are running away, there's a big Democrat who doesn't want to see his constituents. We'll talk about that when we return. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
And she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and the Board Lord, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. On Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, after the 10:30 news, we are talking about Medicare and Medicaid. Dave Wild is going to join us. He has MS and autism and is also an advocate for both of those programs. We're hearing now from the Trump administration about how many people are on these programs that are just faking it, apparently. So we will be talking to Dave to get his perspective. I think it should be a very interesting conversation. And if you are on Medicare or Medicaid, we would love to hear from you, too, and your experience with those programs.
I will say that the in recent weeks, the two biggest things that have brought in comments, calls, and concerns from y'all have been the VA and Social Security. And I imagine that Medicare and Medicaid are going to be right there.
Right up there.
And we're already seeing people saying, oh, you're being lied to. They're not going to touch Medicare and Medicaid. They've been trying to do this for decades, folks.
Well, and with the numbers that they're talking about that they want to cut, that money's got to come from someplace.
Yeah. It's not going to come from the billionaires' tax cut.
No, it's
party.
Not.
No,
it's no. Not. They're billionaires are struck. Rich people are really struggling right now, Greg.
Yeah, and they don't mind if poor people suffer more or worse. I mean, that doesn't matter to them because it's
well, they need another yacht.
They're poor.
It's and priorities.
It's their fault.
855-752-4842. Cindy from Appleton is on the line. Good morning, Cindy. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, and I just want you to know that these are not scare tactics coming from you. These are scare tactics coming from our government, because I know someone made that comment a while back. But anyway, I am afraid that if they just cut the Medicare, there are going to be so many people that are going to be in big trouble.
Yep.
I don't, thankfully, I'm very healthy for my age. I'm not on any kind of medications or anything else, but I am concerned about all my fellow elderly people, and I know most people in this country aren't concerned about their community anymore, which is really sad, but I'm very concerned, and this would be horrific. And if he cuts Social Security, our homeless population, like I said before, is going to literally grow overnight, because people are on the very edge of everything right now. I mean, if you have a $1,200 a month Social Security and you're paying $800 for rent,
yep,
that doesn't give you any room,
yep,
to move with.
Yep.
So this is just, to me, is just horrendous that they could even think about this. These vile, evil politicians, I just don't get it.
Well, it's the pain that we have to go through, Cindy, to become a better and greater America.
Just 2 years of pain.
Just 2 years. As
co-president Musk said, just
yeah.
2 years of pain.
Yep.
Thank you, Cindy. Appreciate you checking in and always for listening. I echo Cindy's concerns about the number of homeless people if some of these cuts go through. When you have, again, as she pointed out, people who are only getting $1,200 a month from social and their rent is $800, we already have housing problem in this country.
I said it before and I'll say it again. My mother-in-law has said 2/3 of her income is Social Security. The rest comes from small investments she has made. If they cut Social Security on her, she's going to be in a world of hurt. And she's lucky enough to have her house paid off, at least. You know, she's lucky. She has some assets. Some assets there she can do, but it's still going to. And I just said before, and I want to apologize. I said poor people. Being on Social Security does not mean you are poor. I'm saying the people that they view as lesser, it's their fault for being lesser. And once and asking the question I asked from earlier regarding farmers and the hungry. How do you justify this in your worldview? How do you make it make sense? How is this okay with you?
Yeah. 855-752-4842. Gene from Eau Claire is on the line. Real quickly, Gene, thank you for joining us. What do you want to say about this?
I want to bring up something really important that I just have to get out. And that is, people have to remember that judges are for a 10-year term. We had to suffer with Schimmel during the Scott Walker time, and we've recovered somewhat, but we cannot have this man, in my personal biased opinion, as a judge for 10 years in the Supreme Court in the state of Wisconsin. Thank you very much, and great job as usual, guys.
Thanks, Gene.
Thanks so much, Gene. Yeah, I completely agree with you. And again, Elon doesn't seem terribly popular.
No.
Brad Schimmel is Elon's pick. Brad Schimmel has a vested interest, in my opinion, of making sure that Brad Schimmel is on the court.
It's maybe your opinion, Jane, but it's the truth, too. It has been said that there was a picture floating around Twitter the other day of a giant blow-up Trump doll, and on his chest says, vote for Schimmel. This is a man who will make sure that the Elon Musk, Donald Trump agenda is passed, upheld, everything he can to make sure that the work we've done in just 2 years,
yeah,
is unraveled.
We just got fair maps.
We just got fair maps.
We just got them.
And if you like making sure that women have 19th century bodily autonomy, then Brad Schimmel's your dude, because the 1849 abortion ban has quote, no flaws to him.
According to Brad.
According to Brad.
And again, keep in mind also that Brad Schimmel tends to tell different things to inside supporters,
correct,
like people who are canvassing for him,
yes,
as opposed to when he's on Upfront on WISN.
Yeah.
Then he portrays himself as a moderate, you know,
level-headed.
He's not.
He also doesn't know that you can't vote for laws as the people as far as binding resolutions. He doesn't know that.
Yeah.
We'll talk more about him in the coming weeks.
Real briefly, because this is what we wanted to talk to you originally.
Oh, that's right.
Talk about originally. Mark Pocan, Representative Mark Pocan from, mm-hmm, Wisconsin's 2nd District, has invited you, And Derek Van Orden for a congressional town hall. It's tomorrow night at the Historic Temple Theater on Main Street in Viroqua. The doors open at 5:30. The event starts at 6 o'clock. Of course, Derek Van Orden can't run away fast enough from his constituents. He doesn't want to actually talk to you.
No.
So, yeah, Derek's been not showing up at public events. Or if he does, he schedules it and then moves it at the last minute and then says, oh, it's a private event. Sorry, you can't come in. But if you would like to hear Mark Pocan speak, because I'm pretty sure he will be there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can talk to Mark Pocan tomorrow night, starting at 5:30, the Historic Temple Theater in Viroqua. I think it would be fun.
I would love to go see Mark Pocan speak personally. He's a fun time.
Tim Wall's also going to be doing some town halls around Wisconsin and other states.
He's doing the
coach is coming out. Yeah.
Coach is doing more than our guys.
Yeah. News is coming up next. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. It's times like these, time and time again. It's times like these, you learn to live again. It's times like these, you give and give again. It's times like these, you learn to love again. It's times like these, time and time again. It's times like these, you learn to live again. It's times.
Hey.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. A lot of discussion about Medicare and Medicaid and potential changes that could be coming under the Trump administration. And we've talked about this over the past couple of weeks. And there's usually someone who will text in and say, well, there's all kinds of, why are you against finding fraud and abuse? Why are you against finding waste and fraud and abuse? I'm not against finding waste, fraud, and abuse, but I am concerned about the less than organized way, it seems, that the Trump administration is handling these things. They're just kind of getting rid of all these people and then going back and saying, oh, maybe we shouldn't have had that one. Mm-hmm. That one was a mistake. So we wanted to talk to someone who has firsthand experience with Medicare, Medicaid, and dealing with several issues. Dave Wild is our guest. Thank you so much for joining us, Dave. I really appreciate your time. From what I was told, you have MS and you also have autism. Can you share a little bit about your experience and what it has been like as a working adult?
Well, I mean, where to begin? You really wind up relearning yourself. I was diagnosed with Asperger's when my son was diagnosed when he was between 2 and 3 years old. And my official diagnosis of MS didn't come, but several years later. It took a lot of different things happening back then before we found out that I definitely had MS along with it. And where things started as far as getting the support systems, it began with my son, because him having Asperger's, especially at a really young age, was significant for him. He needed support, and we even had to go to court to get those supports for him. And we did this in a state that is very hard on people like that. I don't know if I'm allowed to say which state that is.
Sure. Just don't swear.
Nebraska.
Just don't swear.
Okay, I won't do that. state of Nebraska, very difficult, still is for people who have any general difficulties. we had to go to court and we had to explain that he doesn't just throw temper tantrums, because that was one of the things that the judge said straight to us. So he just throws temper tantrums.
Just being a toddler.
And yeah, he's just typical. And the attorney corrected her on the spot and said, no, this is a condition that works on many levels. And it took a bit to get through there, but we did get those. And then my health took a turn and I had to apply to be on disability. And I had a decent career. You know, my health took me out of my career. I was an animal control officer. Good job, good pay, took care of the family. And then I had to start, trying to get assistance. And that included, a little bit of welfare while trying to apply for SSI. And at that time, they put me in a work program. And it was considered experimental in the state of Nebraska back then. But it was very indiscriminate. A lot like the way you see they're doing things now. Their tactic is generally to just grab everybody. It doesn't matter what their story is, and shove them all in the same bucket. Put them all in the same place. I was working next to a woman in a warehouse who was in her 70s and hauling around an oxygen tank. They wanted her to just, basically, we just moved them back and forth. There was really no purpose to these jobs. Cases of powdered baby formula, which probably weighed about 30 pounds apiece.
So wait, I want to just stop you for a second there, Dave. You were working with a woman in her 70s who is on oxygen, but in order to get her benefits, she needs to have a job. And so her job was working in a factory moving relatively heavy things.
Yeah, just a warehouse. Mm-hmm. I didn't let her do that day.
Yeah.
I sat her down in a chair and I said, I'm going to move the boxes. You should actually do nothing. I said, you're here. It's not like they can fire you because they're forcing us to be here. And we were released according to the news at the time, we're talking, this is over 20 years ago. It was found unconstitutional. And they
ended that.
Kicked us all out of the building, and not very nicely either.
Was that a program in Nebraska only, or was that something they talked about being done across the country as well?
Well, I can tell you that several states have done this, though I don't think they did them all at the same time. At the time, the internet really wasn't as big a thing as it could have been.
Sure.
So we were limited on the information that we could get.
Gotcha. Okay.
If you're just joining us, Matt Wild is our guest.
Dave Wild.
I'm sorry. I've been calling you Matt all morning and for like the last 3 days. Now your name is Matt. No, I'm sorry. Dave Wild is our guest, and we're talking about his experience with Medicare and Medicaid. And being an adult with MS and Asperger's, Dave, I assume did you like working while you were still able to work? Did you want to leave the workforce? Because when I hear some of the Trump officials talk about this, it's all the inference is that these are all lazy people who just don't want to work, who are receiving these benefits.
Well, one thing I would like them to know is I miss having a full-time job. It's hard for anybody who was used to working, who wanted to do for themselves. This isn't something I chose. This is not something I'm proud of. It's something I have to live with. It's not a choice factor. I would much rather be well enough to work a full-time job and have one than to have to rely on any of these programs.
And for folks who are listening, I can just only imagine how many people are in your same situation or a similar situation, and how upsetting and disturbing this must be. And it's almost like they want you to have to come forward and prove it. I want you to, you need to prove it to me that even though your doctors have diagnosed you with this, that doesn't seem, that's not enough for them.
Well, and neither is the fact that we have to jump through a whole bunch of hoops. We have to wade through a swimming pool of red tape. We get checked on routinely every few years. Every couple of years, I have to submit a full report that I haven't magically been cured. Okay. They have all of this in place already. What they're doing is completely unnecessary. But, you know, at the same time, when they do this, especially now, the scary risks are, what are we going to lose track of here? Are we going to lose coverage on our medications? Are we going to lose coverage on treatments? You know, it isn't even just the fact that they might come up with a new work program. And I put great big air quotes around the work program, because that's something that I don't think they even have all of the legal requirements together to call it a job. You don't have benefits. I don't think you even have workman's comp. So you are just expected to go, well, break rocks, for lack of a better term.
Just so you're earning a job. Yep. Just go do something to get your benefits, whether or not it's productive or not.
Right. And a great deal of it is just, especially in that warehouse, it wasn't productive. There was no purpose to what we were doing in that building. We would sort clothing. They would throw it all in the box and we'd come and sort it again the next day. You know, it's just meaningless, menial tasks. And they put their offices right next to the employment offices for the state of Nebraska. And we had to go in there and do appointments. And if you were out of line even a little bit, they would cut you off that day.
They cut your benefits that day?
And their biggest threat was that they would sanction all your benefits and you would lose them for at least 30 days.
Oh my God.
I made the mistake of questioning signing a paper because I thought I'd already signed it. That's an innocent enough question.
Sure.
I think I already signed this. My caseworker went straight to the police officer who was on duty and said he needs to leave. And they threw me out that day.
And then you couldn't
work for 30. So you'll have another chance to sign this tomorrow.
I don't have words. Like, prisoners are treated with more respect and more purpose when they're working behind bars. This is just sort clothes and come back tomorrow and do it again. This is craziness.
And for me, that just creates a very real fear that they're just going to do that again.
Sure. What happened to the woman that you worked with, Dave, who was 70 and had an oxygen tank with her? Do you know what happened to her?
I have no idea. After we were kicked out of that building, I didn't see any of them again. I would assume that from her age, I doubt she's around today.
Right.
Because that was a very long time ago and she'd be over 100. I think she mentioned that she was on oxygen due to emphysema, so I can't imagine she made it a real long ways
right
after that. But as far as what happened to her or her benefits or care, I honestly don't know.
PJ,
I can only hope that things were corrected for her.
Yeah. PJ in the live stream says, right, some of us would also rather work. Unfortunately, corporate America doesn't hire people over the age of 50 with disabilities, and yet they expect us to work until we're 70.
Yes.
You know,
PJ, you're absolutely right. I'm 55.
You know, Dave, we're talking about like them chipping away at Medicare and Medicaid benefits, but what you're providing here is a whole new layer of bureaucracy that is like, it's like you should be you should be grateful that you even get the benefits and that you deserve in the first place. Like the fact that they can just make, they can make your benefits go away with the stroke of a pen for 30 days. And I mean, I wanted to bring up the fact that, you know, people are saying, well, they're not going to go after Medicaid and Medicare. Well, they've been trying to do it for years through privatization measures, through personal safe, savings accounts. But this is like, this is awful. And I can completely imagine this becoming a nationwide practice of you go your our way or you get nothing and it's your fault. Like, this sounds like work camp type stuff.
We're going to continue our conversation with Dave Wild. Stay with us. You can always join us at 855-752-4842. Don't go away. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Elon continues to actively ruin. Next hour at this time, we will wrap it up as we always do with a segment called This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, it is...
Let me transfer you
edition. I had to look it up.
It's a Monday.
It is such a Monday.
Such a Monday.
But anyway, stick around for that. Right now, we are talking to Dave Wild, and we are talking about his experience on Medicare and Medicaid. And Dave has autism and also MS. And before the break, Dave, we were talking about some of your experiences with these work requirements in order to get your benefits. And I know that you had a story about someone else that you wanted to share.
Yes, I was talking to a Facebook friend just yesterday who told me about her experience. I believe that the one she had to do was also ended. Most of them are. I haven't found any that weren't ended because they were just unfair. They weren't legal scales of employment. They didn't give any of the employee rights that you're supposed to have working on a job. But for her, even though she was employed, they still expected her to take part. They expected her, after her day of actual employment, to come in and serve so many hours out of the day. And I can tell you something else they didn't care about. They didn't care if you had a sick day, because there was nothing in there. You didn't have
those kinds of protections.
Employment agreements you would have, where you would have build up to vacation days,
right?
Have a sick day. You know, if you didn't show, it was a check mark against you no matter what, and a danger to your benefits. So, honestly, I think slavery would treat you better.
Well, I was going to say, it sounds like indentured servitude. It does. It's, you have no benefits, you have no rights, you have no recourse, but if you want your benefits, you have to show up and do this, or else.
Right.
Or else.
Right.
And again, if the Trump administration were looking at programs and individuals on a case-by-case basis, it might not be so disconcerting, but that's not what they're doing. And there is a story in the Seattle Times that jumped out at me kind of to go along with this. Here is a dead person on Social Security in Seattle who's got plenty to say. The Social Security, yes, the Social Security Administration contacted this man's wife and said, yeah, Ned, we understand Ned Johnson is dead, and therefore we're going to start clawing back his benefits. Ned is still alive, and they had already managed to claw back over $5,000, but now it's taking them weeks and months and hours to try and get this resolved. To me, this is what happens when you, when instead of using a fine-tooth comb, you are using a jackhammer. This is what happens. But again, we know the Trump administration doesn't have time to look at individual cases. Just like the January 6th attackers at the Capitol, they didn't have time. It was too onerous to look over all 1,500 cases one by one. So they just all got blanket pardons. And now it seems like they're going to take the same approach as far as gutting things and getting people off of these programs. They're just going to go with the same broad brush.
It's highly indiscriminate.
Yes.
Is how I've found it. And it that covers anything they're doing, not just the Medicaid or Medicare. All of the firings, all of these things are just grabbing this, just taking, scooping a huge bucket of people up and
throwing them out.
And out it goes. I would just mention my treatments. I have infusions twice a year, and they come to about $120,000 a year in total. Now, I'm on a couple of special programs. I'm on one with the makers of that medication, to where the medication for me costs nothing. But if I have to pay, if I don't have the actual visit at the hospital,
Dave, you just froze.
$5,000.
Go ahead.
Per time that I really
don't
stand. If I have to pay that, it's done. I'm not getting my treatments anymore. Our medications, you know, you're talking very much the same way. Those are not cheap. And with Wisconsin now talking about work requirements, and you'll note they like to be very vague about that.
Yes.
It's a real fear to me because I am employed. I work. My son is employed. We can't do full-time employment because that's just how we are, but we're not doing nothing. And I would often hope that that is at least satisfactory.
Well, and it must be so insulting to you, the attitude of some, like you're a moocher. You're a moocher and you're not doing your part. Yeah. And I can't imagine how that makes you feel, Dave.
Furious. Furious. And I have had people look at me and scrutinize me with the idea of, you look okay to me.
Yeah. So you must be
and
just
I
fine.
Have a term. Yeah, I have a term for that. I always imagine that person holding up their magnifying glass, going back and forth from their eye. And I call that their jerk glass.
Dave Wild has been our guest. Thank you so very much for sharing your story with us. So important for all of us to hear and understand. Really appreciate your time, Dave. We have news coming up next. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.